Hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Michael Rees. This is the Halfway to Infinity podcast, a collection of original short stories. In today's story, a young man has a strange encounter with an old woman visiting her husband's grave. This is A Snake in the Grass. The cemetery lay on a shallow hill. Its rusty iron gate opened onto the oldest part of the graveyard, where the headstones were cracked and green with moss, with strange, barely legible names and dates found only in history books. From there, a narrow path curled like a river, up past old trees and piles of dead flowers to the top of the hill, where the newest graves were dug. The young man headed up the gentle incline. He followed the path as it looped behind a small grove of trees. There was a bench on the grass, one of many dotted around the cemetery. It had an engraved brass plate. "In loving memory," it said, with a name of someone long forgotten. The young man always rested here on his way to the top, to sit a moment and look down between the trees at the old town that lay below. An elderly woman was sitting on the bench. Her dark coat was buttoned up tight, and she wore a faded green scarf over her curly grey hair. Her hands lay on a small parcel of brown wax paper tied with twine that sat in her lap. "Afternoon," the man said as he sat down. The woman said nothing. He closed his eyes and listened as the gentle, warm spring wind blew through the leaves.
"Someone dead, then?"
the woman said.
"I'm sorry?"
"Someone died?"
"Oh, yes, my brother."
"Recent, was it?"
"No, about 3 years ago."
"And you still come back?"
"Yes."
"You must have liked him."
I come to remember."
"You forget, then, do you, when you're not here? Lucky you."
"No, of course not. I just... How about you?"
"Me husband."
"Oh, I'm sorry."
She turned and looked at him over her glasses.
"Are you? Why?"
"I mean, I'm sorry you lost your husband."
"He's not lost. He's dead."
"Yes, it's just an expression."
"I know what it is. I wish I had lost him, though, you know, like a pencil or a pair of glasses. Would have been a lot easier."
"You miss him, then?"
the man asked. She looked out through the trees.
"My mum, bless her, she wasn't the sharpest pin in the cushion, but, well, my mum, when me and Frank got married, she says to me, 'Annie, don't forget the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.' That's all the advice she had for me, that old chestnut. I reckon she got it from a Christmas cracker. Well, I was a good cook, but it didn't make no difference, no. I learned that the only way to a man's heart is through his rib cage. You've got to hold the knife flat, though, if it's a kitchen knife, because they're quite wide, and if you do it wrong, it'll get stuck between the ribs. And with a bloke as big as my Frank was, you only get one chance."
"You stabbed him?"
"Self-defence, is what the court said."
"Oh, I'm sorry."
"You're doing it again."
"What?"
"Apologising for everything."
"Oh."
"He was a right bastard, my Frank. A deceitful little snake. Like most men, he had it coming."
She pointed at a gravestone just beyond the path.
"That's him."
"Frank MacCready," the man read quietly.
"Yeah."
The woman looked down at the wax paper parcel in her lap. With her thin, old fingers, she untied the twine and opened the paper. Inside was a shiny, new kitchen knife.
"I bring one of these every year to stick in his grave. They don't like me doing it, the blokes at the office here. They tell me I can't leave something like this lying around. It's dangerous, they say. Someone could get hurt, they say. Like I need telling. I think they wait until I go, then take it away. It's never been here the next year. Don't matter. So long as I get to stab him again, I'm happy."
"Is this the anniversary?" the man asked.
"Yeah."
She looked at her watch.
Do me a favour, love, and help me up."
She picked up the knife with her fragile fingers, and with the other hand took a cane that had been leaning against the bench. The man stood and took her by the elbow.
"Thanks."
She limped across the pathway and walked over the grave to the headstone. Using it for support, she slowly went down onto her knees and lay the cane carefully on the grass. She held up the kitchen knife and, with both hands, pushed it hard into the earth until only the handle remained. She then reached into a pocket and took out a small string of plastic flowers that she wrapped around it.
"Men are snakes, I know that. Most of them will just slither off eventually, but others, oh, they'll bite you if you say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, even if you wear the wrong thing. Poison they are. Help me up, love."
Again he took her by the elbow and helped her stand. He picked up the cane and handed it to her. She raised her hand and touched him on the cheek.
"What kind of snake are you, my love?" she asked.
"Well, I don't really think of myself as a..."
"No, of course not, sorry. I always get a bit carried away in my own head. Now, you're a rabbit, aren't you, my love? You're soft."
Her fingers were cold against his cheek. She looked deep into his eyes.
"Snakes eat rabbits, you know. Skin and bones, blood and all."
She looked a moment longer before turning to the gravestone.
"All right, Frank, I'll see you next year."
She turned, and without another word, limped slowly away. Halfway to infinity.